Praise God. We're going to start in just a moment over in Ephesians chapter 4. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 26. Say some things before we read that. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. Praise God. We thank you. The Lord is good. And His mercy does endure forever and ever. Last week, we began to look at the great benefits of living in the peace of God. You know, peace is actually a redemptive right. Jesus died on the cross that we might have total well-being and peace of mind. Amen. Glory to God. And Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are glad that you have peace with God? Oh, glory to God. And then in the New Testament, there's many scriptures that talks about having the peace of God. So I'm glad that I've got peace with God, but I'm glad that I've got the peace of God. Glory to God. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not anxious about anything. I'm not fretting about anything. I'm living with peace with Almighty God. I've got peace of mind. I'm walking with peace, as the Bible says, as much as lies within my power with everybody I know. Glory to God. And I'm walking in peace. And walking in peace is priceless. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you know, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Glory to God. Think about that. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. And the Bible teaches us to cast all of our cares, all of our worries over on the Lord. Casting all your cares over on Him, Peter said it that way, for He cares for you. Amen. And so even though, you know, we're tempted to lose our peace for a lot of different reasons, and so even though somebody treats you unfairly and their unfair treatment may cause you problems, you know, in life and in dealing with your boss and in a lot of different ways. And we all face challenges of life. Jesus said, in this life, you shall have tests and trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And because I've overcome, you've overcome, in other words. Praise God. So even though we face these different things that try to rob us of our peace, glory to God, we don't ever have to lose our peace. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so like I said, different things come to try to rob us of our peace. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. We usually think about him robbing us of health or robbing us of our finances or hurting us in our family. But you know, he comes to steal your peace. Glory to God. And so strife and conflicts and notice the way I'm going to say this, unnecessary drama. You know, some people's life is just drama, 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 drama. Man, I hate that stuff. I really do. They just live in conflict and live in drama. And you know, that'll rob you of peace. Wrong thinking. We're going to straighten out some of that wrong thinking, hopefully, as we go along. But wrong thinking will rob you of peace. Being angry and upset at others and resentful of others, that'll rob you of your peace. And, of course, being worried and anxious and filled with cares, that robs us of our peace. And many have not made the connection, but we need to. Many don't realize that these things that rob us of peace are the root cause, many times, of people's health problems, of their mental emotional problems, of their financial problems, of their family problems, of their relationship problems. And you need to deal with the root of something to get rid of it. Amen. And so we need to realize that. Praise God. But living a life of peace versus being mad and angry and upset and living in strife and drama, drama, drama and being tore up emotionally and tore up mentally really is priceless. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. I think we're familiar with this verse, but let's look at it again. It says, be angry and do not sin. Well, it's possible to be angry and not sin. Can you say amen? Amen? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Be angry. He's really telling us two things. He's saying, listen, be angry. The word angry there means being aroused to anger, provoked to anger. I mean, I didn't watch the news this morning, but if I'd have watched it, I'd have been provoked to anger, I promise you. We all know what that is, just being angry. So he says, be angry and do not sin. But he says that, but then he says, don't stay angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And the implication here, I want you to get this. I want you to see this. The implication here is that if you stay mad, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you stay mad, you will sin. If you stay mad, you will, your anger will cause you to have some sort of bitterness against somebody. Your anger will cause you to resent somebody. Your anger will cause you to explode on the inside and go off on somebody. Your anger will cause you to sin in some way. And make no mistake about it, the book of Proverbs makes it very clear. It says that the root cause of strife is anger. It says it over and over again. Strife, anger, you know, anger, malice, ill will towards somebody, that is the cause of all strife. And whether strife and confusion, the Bible says, There's every demonic work and confusion and evil. Well, none of us want that in our lives. Now notice, did you notice this? That it says, I mean, just a few words in that in verse 26. It says, angry and wrath. Be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why didn't he say don't let the sun go down on your anger? Those are two different words in the Greek. Anger means that you've been aroused to anger. You've been provoked to anger. You know, somebody does something stupid on the highway. Somebody says something. Somebody does something to you. You see something. That means to be annoyed, irritated, and even outraged. Amen? So somebody angers you. They tick you off, as we say. And sometimes, listen to this carefully now, sometimes we are righteously angry over the wrong things we see happening. I mean, you can be righteously angry because you say, that's not right, that's not fair, that's unjust, that shouldn't have happened, that shouldn't be. You know, and but don't sin. And then he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The word wrath there is a different word than just being provoked to anger. Wrath there means a smoldering anger. In other words, you got angry, amen, and now you're nursing that. You're feeding that anger. You're rehearsing what they said. You're rehearsing what they did over and over. And you're just smoldering on the inside. And that's exactly what happens if you keep and hold on to anger. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. Be angry. You get provoked. But don't nourish it. Don't feed it. Don't hold on to it. See, wrath, again, is a smoldering anger that leads to hatred, that leads to malice. We hear that word malice all the time, but, well, you know, what does that mean? It's a desire to harm someone. Or, you know, you're not going to go physically harm them, do it to them, but it's a desire to see somebody harmed. Well, they did that to me, so bless God, I hope nothing goes right for them for the next 150 years and halfway through the millennium. So you, in other words, that's malice. That's malice. That's hatred. That's malice. Amen. And so if we have smoldering anger, it'll lead to hatred. It'll lead to malice, a desire for revenge. It leads to resentment. Glory to God. And which will, everybody say will. Which will happen if you stay mad. Look at your neighbor and say, don't stay mad. That might be something they need to hear even today. Don't stay mad. Don't hold on to anger. Be angry and sin not, and don't stay mad. Now, so Ephesians 4:26, the Amplified Bible says, be angry, it says, at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. So sometimes you're righteously indignant is what we say. You're angry, but he says, do not sin. The Message Bible says, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry about things that are wrong, in other words. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. You do not want the devil to have a foothold in your life, because if he's got a foothold in your life, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And anger is one of the things that gives him a foothold in our lives. Has anybody been angry over some of the stupid, antichrist, unnecessary, causes problems that we don't need, sinful and wicked policies and politics in this country the last few years? Sure we have. But some people have been angry about this and angry at certain politicians for months and even years. Can you be angry, now concerned about it, pray about it, use your authority, believe God, trust God, cast your cares over the Lord, but can you be angry at somebody for weeks and months at a time and obey the Scriptures? Do I be angry? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's 24 hours, you know. Amen? And so people have allowed their righteous anger to turn into forbidden wrath. And we must not let that happen. Ever. Because it won't help the situation. So here's a really good question. I want you to pay attention to this. Really, really good. Forget politics. But is there anything or any person? Listen carefully. Is there any person right now this morning while you're talking to me or listening to my voice? Is there any person that for whatever reason that you're mad, that you've been mad with or angry with for weeks? Or months? Or even years? Sometimes people say, well, I don't have any unforgiveness against anybody. But they go, oh, yeah, I'm mad at them. I've been ticked off at them for weeks. Really? Keep listening. Now, listen, we may not like what somebody said or did. You know, Jesus said to love your enemies. That doesn't mean you like what they say or do. Amen. And God himself may agree with you that it was wrong, that it was unjust, that it was totally unfair. But don't let that rob you of peace. Don't let that open the door to the devil in your life. Don't let it rob you of the blessings of God because you hold on to your anger. So what should you do? What should you do? What should you do? Well, you should forgive it. You should forgive them. You should let go of all anger. Don't nourish it. Don't feed it. Don't become a victim. Victims never overcome. We've all been victimized, but victims never overcome. Praise God. Glory to God. Don't become a victim. Don't let things that happen to you in life that are unfair and unjust and wrong, don't let it sour you on life. Glory to God. Stay out of strife. Don't let not your heart be troubled over it. Cast your care over on the Lord. Give your calls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let peace rule in your hearts and walk in love. Amen. Just go ahead and love and forgive and remain faithful and do your part. Do your part in your family. Do your part on your job. Do your part in the church, wherever this offense occurs. Just do your part. Glory to God. Do your job with joy. Cast your cares over on the Lord. And I promise you, according to the word of God, promotion will come, victory will come, and blessings will come your way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go on here, because we just read Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Just a couple of verses later in verse 30, he's still dealing with this. And he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Is this necessary to say to Christians? Is this necessary to tell Christians don't desire that other people be harmed? Well, who was Ephesians written to? It wasn't written to the world. It was written to the saints at Ephesus, the believers at Ephesus, by the Apostle Paul, who was inspired by the Holy Ghost. So in reality, this is God talking to you. And God says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I love verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now watch this. You see these words here, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. I could go deep into each word, but let me just tell you that these are all different Greek words that are all expressing different aspects of anger. So let me just give you the overall view of what these words. These words are saying, listen, don't be hot-tempered. How many of you know that causes problems? One of the starting pitchers for the Atlanta Braves a couple of years ago, he was a new guy, a young guy. He was on his way to be, he was going to be at the All-Star game, no doubt about it. He was like 8-1 or something like that, low earned run average. And he got mad because something went wrong in an inning, and he went and he punched the wall. Well, of course, he couldn't pitch. That was his pitching hand. And you know what? He never has come back. Never has come back. He got over it and they tried to bring him back, but he never has come back. You know, I'm kind of a NASCAR fan. Don't watch it near as much as I used to, but those guys, you know, the good old boys, you ever see anybody ever watch NASCAR, you know, racing? I mean, they'll get mad. I've seen fights in the pits. I've seen guys come out of the pits and go out and on purpose run into another car. I mean, you're doing 160 miles an hour and you're going to run into a car. What if you kill him? And they're doing this because of anger. I've seen guys walk out. I mean, the cars are coming around that track at 100 miles an hour to some tracks, 200 miles an hour, and he walks out in the middle of the track with his helmet and picks out a car and throws his helmet at it. Well, in one of the races, not a NASCAR race, but sprint-type race cars, one of those guys was doing that. He didn't like what somebody did, and so he ran out there in anger to point his finger and cuss at him and yell at him, and one of the cars clipped him and killed him. Anger. Anger. Some people live a life, you know, having an angry disposition is also part of this. That's one of those words in here. That doesn't mean you're not hot-tempered. Just growl and be grumpy all the time. You know, not a real pleasure when people see you walk up. It's not, Daddy's home. It's, oh my God, he's here. You know, that's when he uses these words, wrath, anger, bitterness, it means being ill-tempered, having an angry disposition. It means hot anger, temper, explosive anger, but it also means a smoldering resentment. Just on the inside, you smile and you look at them and you're kind, but on the inside, you're just full of bitterness toward that person, and it's just smoldered because you let the wrath, you stayed angry, amen, and you stayed angry, and it developed into an ungodly thing. Are you listening to me? And even the words clamor and evil speaking here, in context, in the Greek, that means fussing and fighting and quarreling, where you use abusive words to hurt other people. I'm telling you, I'm a pastor. I deal with people. I know most of you, loving, kind, sweet, but I deal with people, and they fuss, fight, cuss at each other, throw each other, all kind of ugly stuff. And it just happens on a regular basis. Have no peace whatsoever. You see, glory to God. Amen. Instead, what should you do? Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now listen. When I started this last week, I just worked on a message. I didn't know it was going to turn into two or three or four or five, but that happens sometimes. And so last week we started in Matthew 6:25 about, you know, where Jesus said, take no thought, don't be careful, don't be worried about anything. And I want to show you some really rich things on what that means, to take no thought and how to take no thought. And I want to get over to that. But as I was preparing this message, I just got right here, and the Lord said, don't rush through that. Just camp there. So we can't get there this morning. So let's again look at verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let me give you my paraphrase. You know, Rick Renner is working on a paraphrase Bible. Rick's a Greek scholar. His paraphrase Bible, whereas like the book of Jude might be one page, his paraphrase Bible is going to be like 42 pages. Maybe 142, because he really wants you to get the meaning of it. Let me give you my paraphrase from the Greek of verse 26. When provoked, when agitated, when aroused to anger, when ticked off, amen, to become furious and upset and enraged, don't explode or lose your temper and strike back. Don't seethe inwardly and allow anger to stay inside of you and smolder and fester. Don't rehearse over and over in your mind what they did to you and how they should pay for it in some way. Get rid of it. Don't keep it a single day. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I think that's capturing the full meaning of everything that he's saying in this passage. Because if we allow anger to stay inside of us, I want to say it again, if we allow it to fester and smolder, it will turn into bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness or hatred and ill will and the desire for revenge. Now listen. I'm dealing with a man several years ago. He's actually somebody I know quite well and good friends with, and he's dealing with a life-threatening disease. In other words, he's not going to die tomorrow, but in the next 8 or 9, if he's not divinely healed, you know, there's no really medical thing they can do. He's dead. And so in talking with him, because we were good friends, he said, you know, he was a little bit bothered and even had to watch himself a little bit offended about two or three people that had come to him and said, you know, because you use your faith, and we all know that if you got unforgiveness in your heart, faith won't work. You know, Mark 11:22, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. And so he knew that. He considered himself, you know, pretty versed in that and a strong man of faith and so forth. And so when people said, do you have any unforgiveness? Make sure you don't have any unforgiveness in your heart. That kind of offended him. You know, like, oh, you think I'm in the second grade in this faith stuff? You know, I know that. I don't have any unforgiveness against anybody. And so sometime later, he and I are talking, and he was talking about some things that people did toward his wife. You have to be careful. Sometimes people are real good about, I'm not going to walk in unforgiveness towards you, but you get offended for somebody else. your friend. You don't like the way your friend's been treated. You don't like the way your friend's husband is treating his wife. You know, you have to be careful about that. And the Bible has some things to say about that. So he didn't like the way they were treating his wife and what they had done to his wife, family members, really. And he told me, he looked me straight in the eye and he said, "I am deeply resentful of the way they treat her. I deeply resent it." And so I thought, well, you know, my teeth wanted to fall. I don't have false teeth. My teeth wanted to fall out, you know. Because I realize that resentment means that you've got unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart toward them. But he hadn't made that connection. And, you know, just because you know the truth and see it doesn't mean they see it. And so you have to approach people in a way, you have to make it palatable so that they will receive it. Not just jump down there, you know. Sometimes you know exactly what they need to do, but they don't know what you need to do. So you have to approach them the right way so that they will understand it, so they will see it. So I kind of began to explain to him and said, you know, if you've got any kind of bitterness in your heart or resentment toward that person, that means you do have unforgiveness toward them and so forth. And explain that to them. A synonym for resentment is anger. Amen? Anger. Resentment means you have ill will or unforgiveness in your heart toward that person. You're angry at that person. And if you stay angry at somebody, as we've been emphasizing, then you have some sort of ill will or malice or resentment or unforgiveness toward them, and you need to rid your heart of that. Can you say amen? Amen. A little side thought, but I think it's interesting and good. You know, because the devil's always, he is, as Brother Hagin used to say, he is a persistent cuss. He's always trying to get at you some kind of way. So he can't get you mad and offended to somebody else, but he wants you to get offended for your friend. You know, have you ever been offended because of the way somebody else treated your friend? Got to be careful of that, see. So Proverbs 3:30 says, "Do not strive with a man if he has done you no harm." In other words, you're mad at somebody and that they hadn't done anything to you. You don't even know what the real story is. All you've heard is your friend's side of the story. See, so you have to be careful about that. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 1 Thessalonians 3:11, I'm putting those together, gives us some really, really good advice. You know what it says? Mind your own business. Don't meddle. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 3:11. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. It says, "Don't meddle in others' affairs, and don't be a busybody." Glory to God. Now here's a scripture. I had somebody came to church one time and says, "You quote that scripture sometimes. Where is that in the Bible?" You know, Tim Couch always says, "Where is that in the Bible?" He was like, "Where is that in the Bible?" Saying, "I don't believe that's in the Bible." Proverbs 18:13, "He who answers a matter before he hears it is a folly and shame." In other words, you're a fool if you don't know the whole story and you try to give your opinion about it. Yeah, amen. And then just a couple of verses later it says, the first one to plead his case seems right. You ever watch one of these famous trials on TV? And you're listening to it and goes, "Oh man, they're guilty of sin." I know a few years ago they had this guy in front of the Congress, you know, wasn't a trial, but they were questioning him. And for days and days and days, it was like, "This man, we ought to take him out back and hang him and shoot him and, you know, burn his bones." But then this man started testifying. He started telling his side of the story, and you went, "Oh, oh, oh." And then you want him to go out and hang the congressman. No, because the Bible says the first one to plead his cause seems right until somebody comes along and examines him. You got to hear both sides of the story. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Proverbs 27. What is this? 26:17. I think that's it. Matthew, put that up for me and I'll see. I'll quote it to you. Is that it? Yeah. "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own," everybody say, "none of my business." None of my business. "Is like one who takes a dog by the ears." You know, and I don't think of some little sweet little cute. Think of some big, growling, mean bulldog, and he's got a snarl on his face. Would you walk up to him and grab him by the ear? Now you get the idea of what the scripture's saying. Amplified Bible says, "Like one who grabs a dog by the ears and is likely to be bitten, is he who passing by stops to meddle with a dispute that is none of his business." Living Bible. "Yanking a dog's ear is no more foolish than interfering in an argument that isn't any of your business." The Message. "You grab a mad dog by his ears, You grab a mad dog by the ears when you butt into a quarrel that's none of your business. Everybody say, none of your business. Everybody say, none of my business. Amen. I'm glad somebody smiled. Glory to God. So when you hear words like unforgiveness and strife and bitterness and revenge and resentment, you know, that gets your attention, doesn't it? Like if you've been taught, Jesus, the only hindrance Jesus gave to faith, the only hindrance he gave to prayer, there are more, but the only one that he emphasized was unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart against others. He said, God will not hear your prayers, your faith won't work if you've got that working in you. Amen. Praise God. So if we hear that because we've been well taught, we say, that's wrong. It'll get you in trouble. It'll open the door to the devil. It'll hinder your prayers. It'll cut your faith off from working. These things will poison you and cause trouble for you and cause trouble for others. And, you know, it can lead to health problems and so forth. That's serious stuff. But we haven't made the connection sometime that if you're mad at somebody, if you're ticked off at somebody, if you're just ill-tempered and have an angry disposition and you're bitter on the inside, that all springs from anger, from being mad at somebody, from being upset I don't have any unforgiveness over them. I'm just upset with them. How long have you been upset with them? Come this Thursday, that'll be 4.5 months. Yeah, Brother Hagin went to a new church one time and he just barely got there and this lady come knocking on his door. He said, Brother Hagin introduced himself. She said, now I want you to hear, because you're brand new here, I wanted you to hear about this before you heard it from anybody else. And I want you to hear my side of it. And she began to tell her, you know, Brother Hagin said, oh my God, I guess something bad happened just in the last 4 or 5 days. He said, well, and she began to tell him all of what this sister had done to her and what she said about her and all this kind of stuff. And he thought, well, I guess they got in some kind of little tiff here the last few days. He said, now, sister, when did this happen? She goes, well, let's see now. 7 years ago. And so he began to talk to her about forgiveness. No, and she said, well, I forgave her, but I'll never forget what that old devil did to me. I kind of doubt you've forgiven if you have that attitude, don't you? We have to understand, you know, you're angry about what they said, about what they did, about what they didn't do that they should have done. Ever been mad about that? They should have supported me. They should have loved me more. They should have encouraged me. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. It's not likely, near impossible, that you would come into this building and you'd be talking to somebody, just standing all around, and somebody start cursing like a sailor. You probably won't ever hear that here. It's not possible that you'd be standing in a little group and everybody's standing around and somebody just, you know, pick out a whatever quarter whiskey from the back pocket and just open it and just start drinking it as they're talking about going to the men's fellowship next week. You're probably not going to see anybody do that. Amen. You're probably not going to see somebody just light up a cigarette. They might when they leave, but they'll just light up a cigarette right here in the building. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. And you probably wouldn't hear somebody that's been taught correctly just admit unashamedly and admittedly, I just hate old so-and-so. I'm just full of bitterness toward them. I'm telling you, I've got unforgiveness against them. I'll never forgive them. You probably wouldn't hear that here. But I tell you what you might hear. You might hear somebody say, well, I'll get around to them in a few. I'm just ticked off of them right now. It's just a little grudge. If you're out in the middle of the ocean in your raft, does it take a big hole? A big hole sinks it, right? But a little hole sinks it too. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You know, some little snakes are more deadly when they're little than they are when they are big. Little grudges, little things. Why? Because you're angry at them, mad at them. Glory to God. Amen. You probably wouldn't hear, I'm just mad at them. I'm upset with them. I'm angry at them. You probably wouldn't hear that. But I tell you what, you'd be better off smoking a cigarette and drinking a fifth right in front of us than letting unforgiveness get in your heart. Amen. God will judge you quicker on sins of the heart than he will physical sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this scripture's in Ephesians is telling us don't explode on people. You know, don't just go off. You ever seen somebody just go off on somebody? Sure you have, because you've done it probably. Proverbs 24:29-11. Is that in the Bible? Is what the Word of God says to us important? Should we pay attention to it? Is it God speaking to us? Should we let it go in one ear and out the other? Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool shows instantly that he is angry, but a prudent man ignores an insult. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and when you act foolishly, it can cause great harm. And I'm not giving you every scripture in the Bible. These are just a few. So don't have an explosive anger. But really, as you read in Ephesians, you know, he says don't explode on people, but he also talks about don't implode. Everybody say implode. Implode. You know, an explosion is to explode outwardly. Impulsion is to explode inwardly. That means you're seething on the inside inwardly. You're offended. You're nursing that wrath. You've developed hard feelings and ill will and bitterness and unforgiveness towards somebody. And sometimes people do that and they're angry at that person for weeks and months and years at a time. Amen. I said amen. So this says get rid of your anger. Deal with it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. How many of you think that's not just good advice, that's a command of God. Cast it from you. Don't hold on to it. Just like you would anything that's dangerous. I promise you, there's no parent in here that said, you know, we went home the other day and we found out there's two or three rattlesnakes living on our front porch. They're mostly around the front door. They just live there. Now, you kids, you watch out for them rattlesnakes when you leave and go to school this morning. No, you'd kill those snakes. You'd get rid of those snakes. Look at that, honey, there's a loose electrical wire. I walked by that thing a while ago and it shocked me. I bet if you hold on to it real tight, it'll electrocute you and kill you. You kids, be careful when you're walking around this loose wire. That thing could electrocute you and kill you dead. No. You'd immediately, you'd take action and you'd do something about it. When you recognize there's any sort of resentment or bitterness or anger, everybody say anger, in your heart, then recognize it as being dangerous. And deal with it immediately. Glory to God. That's why verse 27 of Ephesians 4:26, again, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. That means it's possible to give him place. So he says, don't give the devil any place. We're almost through. Keep listening. Phillips translation says, don't give the devil that sort of foothold. Amen. Many translations in essence say, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, giving the devil an opportunity or a foothold in your life. Glory to God. Certainly there are a lot of different things in life that can give the devil a foothold in your life. Sure, there are other things. Any kind of sin does that. But in context, Paul by the Spirit is specifically telling us not to give place to the devil because we're nursing our anger and feeding our anger and allowing it to become bitterness and unforgiveness and malice and ill will toward another person. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's stand up together. That's enough. Let's stand up together. Amen. Amen. Anger is a hidden culprit, and we want to expose anger for what it is. Something that can cause great damage and harm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I want to ask that question again. Just bow your head, close your eyes, just reverence God, honor God, and shut everything out so that, you know, you're not distracted by anything. And just ask that question. Ask that question to yourself. Nothing wrong with it. Self-examination is good for us. The Bible, the Word of God, not just good for the soul and some sort of natural philosophy. The Bible teaches that. Examine your own heart right here a little bit. The Bible, and ask yourself, is there anybody that I'm mad at, that I'm upset with, that I'm angry at? Is there anybody that I've been upset with for the last week or the last 2 weeks or the last 3 weeks or the last 3 months or the last 3 years? Is there anybody? And then get rid of it. Say, Lord, forgive me. I forgive them. I forgive them in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Say this out loud, everybody. Say, Father God, forgive me for holding any anger, big, little, or small, any resentment, any little grudge against, then you fill in their name. We're all saying this, and you may not have anything, but we're all saying it. Say, I forgive them. I say it out loud. Say, I forgive them. I release all anger against them in the name of Jesus. Father, forgive me for having an angry disposition. Forgive me for holding little grudges against anybody because I've been mad at them. In Jesus' name. I won't nourish it anymore. I won't feed it anymore. I'm talking to you. I won't nourish it anymore. I won't feed it anymore. I let go of it. I cast it away from me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I am forgiven. God has forgiven me. And there's nothing that stands between me and my Father. I let the peace of God rule in my heart in this area. I have peace again. My peace has been restored in this area. Praise God. Now, look at me. Look at me. Feel impressed very strong by the Spirit of God. Now, we've done that collectively. Some people have taken it to heart. Some people, but we've done that collectively. Now, concerning your health, concerning your finances, concerning your relationships, concerning your job, concerning your business, concerning your sales, concerning your promotion, concerning whatever it is in life, amen. Now you can do this. You can do this. I'm saying this to you by the Spirit. You can do this. You can say it with authority, and the devil will flee from you. Because if you try to resist him with anger in your heart toward another person, he'll just sit there and laugh at you. But now, say this. Say it concerning whatever it is, your finances, your health, whatever you need help in. Say, Satan, take your hands off me. Take your hands off my situation. Go from me. Go from this area of my life. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now praise God about that a little bit. Thank him about it a little bit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. Yeah, I'll come to you. How about that? Amen. Glory to God. Just a fresh touch. Glory to God. A fresh anointing. And to be blessed, you know, then you have to receive something that you need. So part of this is definitely in the realm of just physical renewal and strength and life and health in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say, Pat is blessed. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Peace, 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 peace in your mind, peace in your heart, peace with God, peace with others. No worries, no cares, because you've cast them all over on the Lord. Priceless, priceless, priceless. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that song again this morning. Praise God.
Glory to God. Peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace. Like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
I've got love like an ocean.
I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean.
I'm not afraid.
something. I want you to do something. I don't mean this just like a meet and greet. I want you to do this by the Spirit from your heart. I want you to grab somebody and love on them and pray over them and then be open to whatever the Spirit of God might say to you, through you, to them. Do that right now as they sing this.
I've got peace, love, and joy like a river. I've got peace, love, and joy like a river. I've got peace, love, and joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace, love, and joy like a river. I've got peace, love, and joy like a river. I've got peace, love, and joy like a river in my soul.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise God. You're dismissed.